7.9.
Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Air Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Air Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
I am a doer, not just a hearer. My life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. And I want to welcome our radio listening audience and also want to let them know and invite them to a great service we're going to be hosting on Sunday at 10 a.m. And also that afternoon at 6 p.m. We're having itinerant ministers, amen, Harvey and Sherry Randall. We want to invite you and our radio listening audience to come and be a part of our services on that morning and that afternoon. It's going to be a Holy Ghost, amen, miracle, faith, conference, a one-day conference, amen. So mark your calendars, come out and be a part of the services, amen. Your life will be impacted, amen. All right, according to the word of God, amen, in Matthew's gospel, praise God, and this is our communion, and Jesus here is teaching, and of course we shared a lot, of course, on the subject of faith in God, amen, and faith in God is vital. Hallelujah. The word says the just shall live by faith. And what faith does, it causes the believer to go to any aspect of your life, amen, and be able to get victory and access the word of God in your life. In Matthew's gospel, chapter number 6, okay, the word says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, or as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or in the streets, that they may have glory of men. In other words, don't do it for men. Don't do it for men. Do it based on the blessings God ordained for other people, and for the purpose that is prescribed to, not to impress people. And many times, and people will refuse to do it because of that. But no, you're doing it as unto the Lord, amen, and it'll encourage you and motivate you, because a lot of people are learning to give, amen, and to sow seeds, praise God. But the word says, and now the reason it mentioned this is because it's going to be a part of your Christian walk to be given. He brings this subject up because you're going to be doing this. So he's saying, check your heart that you do it right, but you're going to be doing it, and you're going to be doing a lot of it. Can you say amen? It's a part of your life as a believer. Say, oftentimes I'm going to call this the dynamics of giving. Oftentimes, one of the things that people fail to realize is that giving is almost like an occupation. It's really work. And you want that job. You want that job. God's looking for people to give to overload you with places to give to. See, in other words, when you give, you have to consider a lot of things. But if you don't have anything to give, you don't need to consider nothing, because you're not going to give. God said he gives seed to the sower. When you prove that you will give, you will have more to give. And you will become a discerner of where God wants his giving given. And you become a part. When you look at people like a Bill Gates, which is an extreme example, and then you look at another guy like, what's the other guy? He gave Bill Gates the money to give. The real estate guy, Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett said, I'm not into all this giving like this. He said, I'm rich, but I know a guy, he real busy giving. He giving at a level that he can get more of this money given. I'm going to give him this money. So he gave the money. He gave millions of dollars more to Bill Gates Foundation to give. Because he had set up a system to give away more of the money at a faster pace, and Buffett didn't have anything set up to do it. He gave his kids some money, of course. He gave them some. But the bulk of it, he gave it to Bill Gates Foundation. See, in other words, he understood the dynamics and the work involved with giving. Can you say amen? See, there are things you need to know, because you're sowing. And see, that's God says, listen, God is such an abundant God, he needs all his people loaded to be given. There are so many people destitute and in poverty around the world, till the believers need to be running over with revenue to be able to give to meet those needs. And it takes knowledge, information, and time to move revenue. In other words, sometimes you got to buy the stuff and send the stuff. Sometimes you got to send the money directly. All of that, it takes work. But guess what? You always have plenty. The giver's never short. And so what the mindset that the enemy would have you to think is, okay, that, all right, he'll have you looking at what you have instead of having you applying for the position God wants you in. This is a whole dynamic way, different way of thinking. God said, you can't exhaust what I have. God's name is more than enough. Do you know that everything God made, he made more than enough of it? Everything about God is more than enough. So he said, I need you to have your mind renewed to giving so that I can use you as a distributor to give where I want things to go. Whether you buy it and send the equipment or whatever, or whether you give the money directly. It takes time and it takes effort. You have to quit your job, regular job, just to give away what God's giving you to give. What? You mean it could take 8 hours a day? It could take more than that. You'd have to have a staff. All right, let me go back again. Somebody say a giving mindset. There are people so rich in America. There was a book one time called The Rich and the Super Rich. What happened is, in other words, if it didn't exist, you couldn't have it. And so here, those wealthy people had to form foundations just to give away their wealth. In other words, people have full-time jobs managing the investment and distribution of the wealth of somebody that's been dead 50 years, 100 years. What? Yeah, that's all they do. They go in and determine who they're going to give $1 million to, $5 million, $20 million, and they're constantly, the money is increasing, and they're constantly giving it away. So you have to change the way that you think. As a matter of fact, I know many people that say, well, you know, I want a business. I want a business to make some money. Well, listen, Saints, stop trying to figure out how to get a business to make money and get a business to create some jobs for people. If you create jobs for people and you like what you're doing, you're going to have plenty of money. You have to have your heart right to it. The one who won't have much money is the one that have love for it. You're going to break your love for money. When you start giving, when you start tithing, God is breaking your love for money. Poor people have a love for money. That's why they don't have none. Whatever they get, they're spending it. They won't think of God. See, God's not number one. That's why they won't tithe, because God's not number one. Till God becomes number one, the devil is in your pocketbook. And he said it. Now, let's go further in Matthew. Y'all mighty quiet. That must be a perspective on this. A lot of times when people hear people talk about money, they think they're trying to get it for themselves. Are you just trying to get? No, I'm going to give myself. I'm going to use the way I'm telling you to use. Giving and share be good. You got to work the word for yourself. Somebody don't want it, let them alone. But the word says, and it's not all about money, it's about the blessings. It's about the blessing. You ever think about there are people in certain hospitals in other parts of the world that will live longer and stay alive if you could buy them a certain piece of equipment that the hospital could have? Or if you could get vaccine, that babies won't die so quick. That's what Bill Gates is doing. They don't do that stuff for free. Somebody's got to buy the stuff and ship it to them. Okay, let's go. So the word says, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy father which seeth in secret himself shall reward openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Underline where it says seen of men. Now, okay, it's getting your heart right to do what you're doing as unto the Lord. Amen? So the word says, but thou when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy father which is in secret, and thy father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Underline that in your Bible. For your Father knoweth what you have need of before you ask him. So you're not talking God into giving. You're not talking. You're not begging God. He doesn't want to be begging. He knows what you want because he knows all things. So what God looks at in your prayer life is when you confirm what he's already said, say, Father, I thank you that you've already done. You manifested. Amen? He already knows what you are short of in manifestation. Because see, the reality of it is scripturally, spiritually, you have no needs. What he has said is what you have need of manifestation. It needs to come into the natural. Because he's met every need with heaven's best. But he already knows. Come on, somebody. So when you pray, this is two things. You're praying and you're giving. Come on, somebody. Say, my praying and my giving. All right. So here, what it involves is our heart being right. Your heart being right unto God. Under God, because God knows everything. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. Remember when they came in, they lied to God. They lied to the people there and said, well, we've given this, and they hadn't given it, and they fell dead. See, their hearts were not right. And the word just said, who has conspired you to lie to the Holy Ghost? Whatever you had, give what you have. You don't need to lie to God, lie to the Holy Ghost. They will lie to the Spirit of God. What he's saying is, be honest with yourself and with God. God knows what you have already. He already knows. When you don't give it, he knows where you're located. And so what happens is, in this area of giving, it's the word of God that renews the mind and makes the transformation. Because I can tell you, if you was lost before you were saved, the devil programmed you to be stingy. He programmed you to be stingy, lie, and hate God. And so all your mind's got to be renewed from all that. What? Being stingy, lying, and hating God. The word of God has to transform that pattern because you brought it into the kingdom of God. Well, you know, I got saved. You know, I love. No, you didn't love God. You got saved because God loved you. Saved because God loved you. And you were going through things and you needed to be rescued. And none of that had nothing to do with you loving God. That had to do with what is that word? Self-preservation. That had nothing to do with you loving God. That had to do with self-preservation. Not going to hell, that's self-preservation. Loving God come later. Yeah. There are a lot of people been in the body of Christ a good while and don't love God. I mean, saying love, you have to develop the love of God. Many people in the body of Christ don't know what the love of God is. Yeah, it's unconditional love. God has to train us to love him by showing us how he loved us. It's unconditional. Amen. So that has to be developed because man is a tit for tat, get even person. Sinners get even. You do me, I do you. But the love of God, to love the unlovable, the undeserving, and the unresponsive, that comes from God. People don't respond, you love them. They don't deserve it, you love them. Because God loves them. God's not trying to get even with anybody. All right, so scripturally, the word says, let's go further. And so somebody say prayer. And giving. All right, so it's both of these. So now God's plan, his, and you look at the scripture, and Jesus is teaching here in red writing. I just have a few minutes. Jesus is teaching here in red writing. He said, so the giving part, that meant God plans for you to have something to give. Why would he give all these rules on giving? You don't need no rules on giving and heart stuff on giving if you're not going to have anything to give. And the word said he gives seed to the sower. That means he's already preordained a plan for you to have something to give. I'm going to say it again. Otherwise, this scripture wouldn't make any sense. Well, you know, it's people that's poor and they don't have anything to give. I've seen them. I've seen that Bible poverty. Amen. Not in America. In other countries I've seen it. Abject Bible poverty. Well, how are they going to give? God, they're going to get the word. They're going to get the word. That's why God send preachers, evangelists, itinerants to give them the word. When you get the word, you got all you need. Why? The word said God gives seed to the sower. He gives seed to. Once you purpose in your heart to give, God said he'll get the money to you. Or whatever it is he wants you to sow, he will give it to you, or he's unjust to ask you or require you to sow and you don't have anything. Well, those people, they don't have nothing. And people preaching the gospel all around. They said, well, we don't have nothing. We don't have nothing. He said he preached the gospel to the poor. The first thing God went, well, what does God want? What are you going to just give them something? For no, he's going to deal with your heart. He's going to ask you, come on, somebody. I'm about to close this out. What does a person in abject poverty, what does God want from him? He wants their heart. He's going to give you his word, tell you about Jesus, that he sent Jesus, that he loves you. He sent Jesus to redeem you, for you to be saved. Person poor. For you to be saved, amen. And let's say you're the one witnessing that person, and they're hungry. Give them some food to eat. Give them something to drink. And give them the gospel. When you give them the gospel of Jesus, they will realize that somebody has died for them. And if they receive Jesus, come on somebody, they receive Jesus, they're now born again. Now, God wants them to give. Well, they don't have anything to give. God's going to have somebody to give them something to give. Just the way we do with the kids. Say, kids, y'all have some money to give? Kids come to church, don't have no money. Say, well, okay, hold your hand up. Somebody's going to come give you some money. You saved already? Somebody's going to give you some money, and you give some of that money. You give some, and you keep some. But you definitely get 10% of it, and then whatever you keep is yours. How does that work? That works at every level. All right, so then they give. So he gives seed to the sower. Because the key of it, you have to be a sower. God said, listen, God knows man's heart. God knows man's heart. Man without God is a schemer, a liar, and he can't be trusted without God. He's a sinner. He's a sinner from the inside out. He's a sinner in his thought life. His thought life is, he's trying to scheme on God already. But God already knows his heart and he loves him. Come on, somebody. And so what he does, he convicts him that, here's, we need to have a conversation, fellow sinner. Let's come to the conclusion that you're a sinner and you hate God. See, there's no sense in mixing it up and dressing up, well, you know, you're a good person. You go, that's a lie. He's not a good person. He's a sinner, and he was born a sinner, and he's going to be more of a sinner unless he gets saved. And he's hell-bound, and he needs to be born again. Jesus said, marvel not, you must be born again. In your current state, you are not usable by God. You don't love God. You don't love nobody. You don't love you, because the word of God said you are of your father, the devil. Now, this is the pure gospel. This is base one. And you say, well, you know, well, I'm all right. I'll just make it like that. All right, stay like that. But the need to be saved has to come. Using the sinner to bless the kingdom of God, that's not God's plan. Let's go further with the scripture. That's not his plan. His plan is to use, let me see your hand if you're saved. You're born again, you're a Christian. God's plan is to use you, and he's not changing it. And whoever step up and participate, that's who he's going to use. Amen. All right, the word says, praying and giving. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done as it is in heaven. Now, many of you have not looked at what we call our Father's prayer like this. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is any poverty in heaven? Any sickness in heaven? Any confusion in heaven? Any lying in heaven? God's plan is that any poverty in heaven. Okay. God said, pray. This is what comes out of your mouth. This should be in your heart. That will be done on earth to me as it is in heaven. Amen. This is a glorious life. It says, and you shall need before you ask. And it says, as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those our debtors. Look at verse 12. See verse 12. In that prayer, it's the same thing over there. And Jesus said in Mark 11:22, and when you stand, pray and do what? If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may do what? Forgive your trespass. The same principle of forgiveness. See, in other words, your prayer life is affected by who you. If you don't forgive, when you stand in prayer, and you have to forgive people. This is where the bulk of people's challenge is. People come in church mad at other people, not being able to hear from God. You got to release people. Let them go. Let them go quick. Release them quick. You stand in unforgiveness trying to get even with somebody, you cutting off your blessing. You shutting down your life for faith in God. All right, so here you have the principle of debt. It says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, forgive the people I've offended, you know. Forgive me and as I forgive those who trespass against me. Are you forgiving those who trespass against you? Are you forgiving those who owe you? Because you owe somebody? People don't like admitting they owe people. Oh, man, you're getting the biggest argument about people owing people. People don't like to feel they owe. No matter what you've done for them, they don't feel they owe you. They don't want to feel that way. They'll argue with you about it. They'll dislike you over that, over a debt they have with you. Y'all not helping me. Because it's better to write you off than to make it right. And even to ask you to forgive them. Hallelujah. See, God, that's the stuff that God's looking at. This is first base. This is from the inside. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he. God is dealing with the heart. He destroyed the earth because of the people were evil continually. He's looking at the heart. All the other stuff, the blessing, the prosperity. Come on, saints, listen. That's the easy part. The heart part is the heart is the part where the work comes. The part where the pride is, the envy, the jealousy. Amen. That's where the work needs to, that's the hard part. That part is you. The part is you, like you've been all this time. That's where God's working at. As a man thinketh, so is he. Sure, God bless you, sure you saved, but that's giving him a right to work on the inside of us. The multiplying the harvest when you give, God does that. That's not hard because we don't even do it. Once you sow, God handles the multiplication. That's not hard for you. All we have to do is just obey and give. But that part about you being wrong and they being wrong and what they said to you and they shouldn't have said this to you and you, oh you need prayer. You need to check. Amen. On the inside, God is looking at people's hearts. He says the heart is desperately wicked. That's why our minds have to be renewed and be transformed. I don't like this one. I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Oh, my God. Christians? So the word says, let's go quickly. It said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, glory, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their what? Trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. And here it is, impressing people. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou mayest appear not to men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Then, okay, here's where I want to go. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, read that with me, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. One more time. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, put a circle around that verse. This is the challenge. You protecting the heart, and your heart's going to be with, where, and in what is your treasure. The treasure might be your husband, your wife, your car, your kids, your jewelry. Something you value, whatever you value, real high, amen, your heart's going to be on it. And God's watching your heart. He's following your heart to where you're letting it go. That's why you got to keep it with God, with the word of God. Amen. Where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. God wants our heart. That's the relationship. Amen. And so, in any case, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee, be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I know time doesn't permit, but you have to watch how much you're feeding your flesh. When I say feeding your flesh, I don't mean chicken and rice. And I don't mean eating physically. I don't mean chicken and rice, and I don't mean food at all. When I say feeding your flesh, the dinner table of the flesh is your mind, your thought life. And we all have to guard it. And things are coming at your mind at a rapid rate, and they're wrapped in pretty packages with music in the background. And you have to judge what you feed your mind, what you allow into your thought life, because that's where the biggest battle. You come into the kingdom of God attempting to get rid of some of the stuff that was there, that was already there, and then now there's a whole new menu out there. There's a whole new menu out there, and this is what God is judging. Because oftentimes when we said, I'm going to close my Bible here, oftentimes when we talked about the flesh itself, as a believer, because this is something you have to, Paul said he said, I had to bring my body under. Well, oftentimes when we look and we say he had to bring his body under, normally you're thinking it's your physical body, but it's really your thought life. Your thought life it's faster. It operates more faster. It can consume more. It can produce more. And it's like a camera. It's able to picture and build an inventory of stuff quicker than you can move your physical body. And so that's what he's looking at. That's why when you have the Bible, you meditate on the word of God. And he tells you to meditate on the word of God, renew your mind. So it'll push certain things out. It'll get rid of stuff that's there, and it will reject things that are coming. Says, you know, man is still figuring out how God made us. He still, and he tells us, and I don't have time to go there, but Philippians 4:8, and it tells you what to think about. It's certain thoughts you shouldn't allow in your life, and you just have to govern it. It's an individual thing. So when you get the word of God, amen, the word of God is, amen, it's a blessing. It's quick and powerful, sharpening in the two-edged sword. So when you look here, you're looking at prayer, and Jesus is teaching you, he said, looking at prayer, you're looking at giving, amen, praise God, and then you're looking at forgiveness, and you're looking at your love walk as a believer. These are the things that make for a life of victory. And I'm going to stop right there. Give the Lord a praise, amen.
Hello, this is Pastor David M. Thomas of the Air Church. That's all the time we have for today's message. We trust that you are blessed by the word of God. I'd like to invite you to attend our new church campus located on Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge off of North Main Street. Or go to our website, theairchurch.org. That's H-E-I-R. church.org. Thank you for joining me, or better still, come join us live at the sanctuary at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, 7 p.m. Wednesday night. God bless till we see you again.
Thank you for joining us for the Air Church, the live worship service from the Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of the Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. airchurch.org.
Sometimes the hardest person for you to forgive is the one you see in the mirror every day. It's time for you to get free. Sing fire.
I decided to stop replaying regrets, and I decided to tell
everything in
my past goodbye. I cannot change what I did,
no.
But it didn't change what you gave when you took my place. No more guilt but grace.
Time to let it go.
Held on way too long, watching reruns of my wrong take the shame away.
No more
reliving mistakes you washed away.
So I want you to do what God has already done for you and say,
I forgive me.
It may have taken a while to get to this point, but
I forgive me.
If God has forgiven you, why can't you do the same?
I forgive me.
It's time to stop looking back, so God's purpose can move you forward.
I forgive me.
You may be saying, James, but you don't know my past. I was wrong.
Yeah, I know it was wrong.
Carried this weight.
Carried this weight for too long.
I want you to get free right now and say,
I forgive me.
You've been hard on yourself long enough.
I forgive me.
You've always felt like you weren't good enough, but that's over.
I forgive me.
You've made mistakes, but those mistakes don't get to make you.
I forgive me.
God knew what you'd do, and he still chose you.
Yeah, I know it was wrong. Carry this weight far too long.
But you've been carrying this weight for far too long.
I forgive me.
Now letting go can be the most difficult part of this process. To have a memory of your past, but not allow those memories to produce the same pain in your future. But today, it's time for you to get your life back. Instead of staying down feeling sorry for yourself, I want you to pick yourself back up and let it go.
I'm letting it go.
The pain of yesterday.
I'm letting it go.
You've already taken too much from me.
You won't steal my future anymore.
The memory of every mistake.
I'm letting it go.
It's time to receive God's grace.
I'm letting it go.
You can't change his mind about you anyway.
You won't steal my future anymore.
You could have been a better mother.
I'm letting it go.
And maybe you should have been a better father.
I'm letting it go.
So pick up the phone and call that child. It's not too late.
You won't steal my future anymore.
It's time to let go of the shame.
I'm letting it go.
The stuff they put on your name.
I'm letting it go.
The debt was canceled when Jesus came. God has already forgiven you.
I forgive me.
Now it's time for you to forgive yourself.
I forgive me.
Don't let who you were interfere with who God's allowing you to become.